Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. If you'd like to join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the follow button. I am Sister Q, and joining me for tonight's program is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. This evening's topic is several reasons why we must control our food production. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How are you doing this evening?
Peace to you, Sister Q. I'm doing well, and appreciate you inviting me to talk about this topic. I think it's extremely important. I hope that the family gets something out of it. And please, family, and greetings to you. Please join us, ask questions, debate us. You know, these are my views. I definitely should mention that this is my view. These are my views regarding our food production and not that of Ulu. This is coming straight out of the mouth of Shabaka, and I don't want to put the blame on anybody else but me.
Okay, Brother Shabaka. So tell us, Brother Shabaka, why do you think that we must control our food production? And I take it the topic was must, so it's not, even though it's you saying it, it's not like a general, well, it would be nice, or perhaps we ought to think about. You said we must control our food production. Why is that?
Sister Q, family, we must. It's a necessity. It's urgent. All right? But let me first tell you the importance of food. All right? And I think everybody understands that. If you got a $1 million house to live in, you got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of clothes, you have no food, you will die.
Right?
Okay. That's obvious, okay? If it's raining outside, you have no house, you have some clothes, at least a raincoat, an umbrella, you have food, you will live, okay? All right, now, if what you eat depends on getting it from somebody who dislikes you, you may have some difficulty, all right, in sustaining your health in the environment in which that person who controls the food that you depend on, all right? So, and I will point out some more, but the important thing is to remember that we live in a society that does not necessarily like us as a consequence of our group identity, which is that we're of African descent. And for the past decades and hundreds of years, all right, they have made it clear, because we are definitely no better off than what we were, you know, prior to 1865, when supposedly the North won the Civil War. When we look at it economically, socially, health-wise, all of the factors, we are no better off. The other thing is this. When we talk about health care, what are we really talking about? We're talking about what it is that you consume, all right, within your environment, and how that what you consume sustains you, all right, to be able to move and operate within that environment. And let's get a picture of what that environment looks like. But before we get too deep into what this environment looked like, I'd like to bring up a clip. And I'll tell you the importance of this clip, all right, because this is related to health. And we know that if you eat poorly consumed, manufactured food, all right, you will live a little bit. If you eat healthy food, meet no other accidents, you'll live a little bit longer. So health is very important. Maintaining your health is very important because it helps you to be able to, in your environment, operate within that environment, both physically and psychologically. All right, if you're in poor health, you're not going to operate too well. And again, if you have no food, you will die. All right, so I want you to listen to this environment. This is a Dr. David Martin. Martin is a researcher. In fact, he used to work for the government. Part of his job for the government, you know, was to try to find people who were trying to avoid paying taxes. So he is very capable of doing a lot of research, and he has a breadth of knowledge even in legal matters. But I want you to listen to this for a minute. It's about 5 minutes, all right, and then we'll talk about it at the end.
Okay.
Most of you don't know that coronavirus as a model of a pathogen was isolated in 1965. Coronavirus was identified in 1965 as one of the first infectious replicatable viral models that could be used to modify a series of other experiences of the human condition. It was isolated once upon a time associated with the common cold. But what's particularly interesting about its isolation in 1965 was that it was immediately identified as a pathogen that could be used and modified for a whole host of reasons. And you heard me correctly. That was 1965. And by the way, these slides are public domain. You're welcome to look at every single reference. Every comment that I made is based on published material. So do make sure that you look at those references. But in 1966, the very first COV coronavirus model was used as a transatlantic biological experiment in human manipulation. And you heard the date, 1966. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm saying. This is not an overnight thing. This is actually something that's been long in the making. A year before I was born, we had the first transatlantic coronavirus data sharing experiment between the United States and the United Kingdom. And in 1967, the year I was born, we did the first human trials on inoculating people with modified coronavirus. Isn't that amazing? 56 years ago, the overnight success of a pathogen that's been 56 years in engineering. And I want that to chill with all of you. Where were we when we actually allowed, in violation of biological and chemical weapons treaties, where were we as a human civilization when we thought it was an acceptable thing to do to take a pathogen for the United States and infect the world with it? Where was that conversation? And what should have been that conversation in 1967? That conversation wasn't had. Ironically, the common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals, pigs and dogs. And not surprisingly, by the time we got to 1990, we found out that coronavirus as an infectious agent was an industrial problem for two primary industries, the industries of dogs and pigs. Dog breeders and pigs found that coronavirus created gastrointestinal problems, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990. Did you hear what I just said? 1990. Operation Warp Speed? I'm sorry. Where's the warp and the speed? Pfizer, 1990, the very first spike protein vaccine for coronavirus. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't it fascinating that we were told that, well, the spike protein is a new thing. We just found out that that's the problem. No. As a matter of fact, we didn't just find out it was not just now the problem. We found that out in 1990 and filed the first patents on vaccines in 1990 for the spike protein of coronavirus. And who would have thought? Pfizer. Clearly the innocent organization that does nothing but promote human health. Clearly Pfizer. The organization that has not bought the votes in this chamber and in every chamber of every government around the world. Not that Pfizer. Certainly, they wouldn't have had anything to do with this. But, oh, yes, they did. And in 1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines. They didn't work. You know why they didn't work? It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse because it modifies and mutates too quickly for vaccines to be effective. And since 1990 to 2018, that is the published science, ladies and gentlemen. That's following the science. Following the science is their own indictment of their own programs that said it doesn't work. And there are thousands of publications to that effect, not a few hundred, and not paid for by pharmaceutical companies. These are publications that are independent scientific research that shows unequivocally, including efforts of the chimera modifications made by Ralph Baer from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. All of them show vaccines do not work on coronavirus. That's the science. And that science has never been disputed.
All right, Sister Q, let's have a little conversation on what this white boy says. Now, you might say, mm-hmm. Shabaka, do you trust what he's saying? No, he's a white boy. All right. But it just so happens that he's a conservative white boy who has issues with liberals, particularly their application of this vaccine, so-called vaccine, and supposedly their discovery on a coronavirus, you know, that is a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so he does the research. I mean, that's what he does. He used to work for the government. He's been doing that, you know, over 20 to 30 years. Now, I checked some of his sources. You know, you don't expect me to believe a white boy, right? So I got to check some of his sources. Regardless of whether he's conservative or liberal or whatever it is, you got to check some of the sources, all right? Can't check mm-hmm. all of them because I don't have that time. But I have a little bit more time than the average person because I'm retired, so I can do that. The average person is mm-hmm. trying to make ends meet in a world that's highly competitive because they have to be able to get money, all right, to get food, all right, to get the nutrients from the food, all right, so that they can be in good health, so that they can be able to sustain themselves in a very hostile environment, all right. Now, the reason I brought up David Martin's conversation, he was giving the presentation a few weeks ago, all right, on this subject of the coronavirus, he's been very adamant about that. In fact, he has circulated that information, I come to learn, all right, to just about all of the attorney generals in the states that we have in the U.S., all right, but they haven't mm-hmm. acted on it, you know, all right, they haven't acted on it. He says you got here to be able to call up a grand jury and begin to act on it on criminal proceedings of both of these two companies, Pfizer and Moderna. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Particularly Pfizer, because Pfizer's been here a lot longer than Moderna. Moderna's just been here, you know, barely a decade. The importance of what he's saying is that we've been lied to, and the vaccine that was created, you know, in a year had really, you know, been doctored on and worked on, you know, for a couple of decades. So it's not something mm-hmm. that just popped up, okay. And some of the hazard effects that it has created was already known because they known it in animals, particularly pigs and dogs, as he referenced, all right? And so they knew that they created inflammation, all right? And it just operated a little bit differently in people. It created the inflammation initially in the chest, in our lungs.
Okay.
So I wanted you to bring that up, that it's nothing new, all right? These things have been going on. We've been lied to, and I think I want to, you know, take this moment just to, you know, inform people what medicine and vaccines do. It's your body that creates and heals itself. When you get a scratch, mm-hmm. you know, you don't do anything. You clean it out, and eventually it will heal itself. Well, so will other parts mm-hmm. of the body. All a vaccine does, so-called, and this is the traditional vaccine. I'm not talking about the injections that you get with these mRNA genetic gene therapy. The traditional vaccine put a live virus, but weakened, into your system, and what it does is to try to initiate an immune response. Now, remember now, it's an immune response, all right, that identifies and neutralizes the pathogen that has been introduced into your body, all right? It doesn't, the medicine, the vaccine doesn't kill the pathogen, all right? All a vaccine does right. is stimulate your immune system to kill the pathogen, all right? And that's either mm-hmm. bacterial, a virus, or a parasite, you know. Your immune system does that. Now, what fuels your immune system? The food that you eat provides the mm-hmm. energy sufficient, all right, for the immune system to work, all right, to neutralize the pathogen, so that you are healthy, so that you can go outside and navigate in your environment. That's all it is, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The medicine
right.
that you get fights symptoms, all right? But your body, when it rests, correct itself. You know, you take a medicine here, you take aspirins here, all right? It helps to relieve the symptoms, all right? Not cure anything, all right? relieves the symptoms so that your body takes over and make itself. And what is important to the body is the food and nutrients that you get. And when I say food, I'm talking about water, including water, that you get from your surroundings that nourishes the body, all right, protects the body, all right, and then allows the body to go out in the environment, interact with other animal forms and what have you, all right, and sustain yourself. That's all it does. And he's telling you that the lie that's been told to us, all right, is actually something that has been used, all right, to injure us. Now, I want to bring up this other thing that he talks about, too. Now, this is only a minute. This is really damaging. I want you all to listen to this. All right? You listening, sister?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Read this, because we have to read this into the record everywhere I go. Until an infectious disease crisis is very ripped.
All right, he's saying this at the same forum that he made the last time, but this has been isolated. All right, now he's talking about some people that's involved in research.
Still present and at the emergency threshold that is often largely ignored.
I'm gonna play it again
Let's read this because we have to read this into the record everywhere I go. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at the emergency threshold that is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as the pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
Now, he's quoting a guy named Peter Daszak, all right, who was the CEO of EcoHealth, all right? EcoHealth was responsible for initiating coronavirus research in Wuhan, all right? And guess who they got their money from? NIAID, all right, which was headed by my brother, Anthony Fauci. Well, he's not my brother, right? But Anthony Fauci.
Or the brother.
Not my brother.
Sounds like public health?
Wow.
Sounds like the best of humanity? No, ladies and gentlemen, this was premeditated domestic terrorism stated at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015.
Did you get that date? 2015.
All right. Wow. Uh-huh.
2015, he was already, all right, characterizing how the use of a coronavirus could be used for the emergence of a pandemic and how to bring on investors which would pay. This had nothing to do with public health. It had everything to do with profits.
Right.
Published in front of them. This is an act of biological and chemical warfare perpetrated on the human race, and it was admitted to in writing that this was a financial heist and a financial fraud. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. Read this because we have to read this into the
record. All right. Well, he's going to read this. I just clicked it and it was going over again. The important thing is this. This has not been mentioned, but it has been researched, and a lot of people have understand. He mentioned the word countermeasures. Countermeasure is used in the military. I was in the military. Mm-hmm. And we use that word. It wasn't in used by pharmaceuticals. All right, pharmaceuticals could say, well, we have a pathogen and we'll try to find an antibiotic, to relieve you of the pathogen, okay, and then bring that back. But when you start saying countermeasures, all right, you're talking about military. Well, it so happens, and I don't have time to really go into it, and maybe I'll do a show on it, is that really the people who were responsible for research into the vaccine, so-called, all right, and research into the coronavirus was the U.S. military, DARPA, all right, one of their military agencies responsible for research. They funded it, and all they did was just have, and I'll bring that up maybe at another session, they only funded and only had Pfizer and Moderna, particularly Moderna. Moderna really came out of NIAID, all right? But they had Pfizer, just be the front for the research that they were doing, okay? But it was they who characterized that, and I will talk about that maybe at another session. The point I want to bring up is this, is that it's very difficult, particularly for black people, to believe that there are such evil people in the world who are primarily concerned with power and making money. It's hard for us to conceptualize that, all right, which is difficult. Now, I understand that the number of people who have received jabs have went from 30% up to 40%, still lower than the number of people, black people are in this country than that for white people. But the point is that when we look at, and particularly white folks, I mean black folks, because we go to church, pray to God, you know, yeah, we do some things. When we commit crimes, it's usually crimes of passion. It's very difficult for us to plot, you know, the liquidation of a life, you know, over months or years and then do it. It's you know, we get angry, we'll lash out. That's what we do, all right? But we the planning of stuff for money, you know, is very difficult for the average black person. So I'm saying that to say that these Martin brings up what has happened as a consequence of what has happened, and then showed what has happened has been responsible for the plandemic, and this plandemic has had an impact on our health, and as a consequence of having an impact, negative impact on our health, it impedes our ability to operate effectively in the environment in which we find ourselves in. Now, sister, I gotta get to the crust of the matter, because I know you want to say, well, brother, what does this have to do with maintaining our control of our food source? All right. Well, maybe this. Now, remember, now, the key is the importance of food source, of food, is to be able to sustain our health. Our health is important because it allows us, with the nutrients that we get in the food, to be able to go out in the environment and operate, all right? And that environment to black folks in America is very hostile. So we got to be in excellent shape, you know. But we're not in excellent shape. Yes. We have comorbidities, yes. You know, which means we have more than one disease and stuff like that. It impedes our ability to operate effectively in that environment. All right, now I want you to listen to this other white boy, who information I checked, all right? But it's important because he begins to lay the foundation why, and listen to what he says at the beginning. This is Dr. Mercola, who is a doctor of medicine.
Okay.
Well, it's great to be with you, but I'm disappointed.
He's at a conference.
Purchasing some land for a health community.
He's given a presentation by video, all right. And what he says is he's been, you know, he's basically out in the country to look for land, all right, to deal with health. Now keep this in mind, all right. He'll tell you why in a minute.
Do some international travel, so you know I apologize not being there live with you, but. The reason that I'm doing this is we know that there's an impending crisis coming with the Great Reset. Food is going to be a real issue. It's always an issue, but it's going to become even more so. Now, the globalists that are catalyzing this Great Reset,
the globalists that he talks about, you got to get into a European mindset, and he's a conservative. He looks at the liberals as globalists, essentially communists. All right, and of course the liberals, all right, the other white folks look at him as fascist. Okay, and that doesn't mean that's the label they placed on him in order to distinguish between them. I think really it's both of the same. It's just that they plan to manipulate the populace, and so forth. They have these labels. Now, so in fact, he lives here in Florida. He lives here in Florida. All right. And so I check out his stuff, too. He has a bunch of references that he uses. I check those out, you know, before I comment on anything, okay? This boy Sister, interrupt me anytime if anybody's on the call. And in fact, let me ask you now, is anybody on the call like one? It's because I want people to challenge me on this. All right. And I'll tell them
no,
to go get
their
information.
No, there are no hands up right
well,
now.
No. All right. So he's giving a presentation at a – in fact, it's interesting because it's a food security conference that was put on a few weeks ago. And he's giving a presentation mm-hmm. at this conference, but he's out of the country right now. Because he's looking to buy some land, you know, to do with a health initiative of a group of people that he's representing, I guess.
Okay.
They've had a monopoly on food for a long time, and their intention is to make that even grow and become more so. They started this process with the GMO seeds, and, of course, the primary purpose of a GMO seed is to facilitate the integration of the use of glyphosate, a very potent, deadly herbicide. That Dr. Stephanie Senitz, who is on this channel, is explored in great detail and has actually written a book on it. So I was one of the people early on who helped educate individuals, you know, 12, 15 years ago, because at that time, actually no one knew the dangers of GMO seeds or glyphosate. And it's really, to understand what's coming, it's important to have an understanding of what happened last century. And that is the food industry, and Monsanto specifically, was an effective lobbyist in changing the laws to essentially allow GMO foods to be substantially equivalent to real food that we were all, that historically have always used. And the reason this is important, because if this is in place, then what they've done is essentially bypass the whole necessary and required infrastructure to do safety testing, because in many ways this is...
Let me stop here. Just make sure that the family understands. By making GMO equivalent to naturally producing stuff, all right, that circumvents or bypass the need to test these things which are made in a lab. You understand me?
Gotcha.
That's what his rationale is. And keep in mind that Monsanto is owned by Bayer's. Bayer, you know that little tablet that you take? That pharmaceutical company?
Right.
Yeah, that's that.
Okay.
They own Monsanto. Right? Okay. Let me let him speak a little bit more.
So similar to the tobacco industry. You know, it's a pernicious, pervasive toxin that doesn't kill you immediately; it kills you slowly over time. So they got the legislative requirements in place last century, and now they're taking it forward. And I'm going to tell you exactly what they're doing, because what they have in store for every one of us is an equally serious health threat, because they're going to produce synthetic food, fake food. And they're going to make loads of cash out of it, because the predicted market for this fake food market, $3 trillion. And there's even a report by the consulting firm McKinsey, which is a very big consulting firm. They're calling it bio-revolution, or synthetic bio, or syn-bio, as it's frequently called it. And they're predicting, McKinsey, that 60% of all the materials in the economy can be produced this way, especially the food you eat. And what type of food might that be? Well, we know what it is. It's fake meat, fake milk, and fat. Now
he talks about milk. You know, for some of us who are, you know, more towards the vegetarian line, you say, well, we don't have anything to worry about. Well, he's a white boy who you know, from the South. He likes his meat. Okay.
Right.
All right. So, but he's concerned about fake meat. Okay. He's concerned about
mm-hmm.
fake fat. All right. But this is to show you that when you manipulate, when you can manipulate a cell, a GMO, plants have cells. All right. They have nucleus
yes.
in the cell. And they have DNA material, which allow them to split, all right, divide the same way as you have animal cells. All right. So
mm-hmm.
we have this. All right. But they have the same mechanism. So it's not hard to believe that if they haven't tried anything on plants or vegetables, you know, it will soon come to be. But he's talking about because he eats meat. All right, let me let him continue for a minute more.
how we have Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat as examples of fake meat, and fake milk is just recently introduced by Bill Gates, the bio milk. And the first fake fat is actually out. It's now called cultured oil. So the plan is, by replacing these animal foods with patented lab-made alternatives, the globalists will have unprecedented power and control over our health. So all of these fake foods, you know, the worst type of food you can eat is ultra-processed. Not just processed, but ultra-processed. And all of these fake foods are ultra-processed, full of synthetic chemicals. So, as I mentioned, the basic technology to facilitate the introduction of this food into the food supply was done last century, and even the basic scientific technologies were established last century. So the real challenge, though, is to, you know, what is the new technology? That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. And that is a term that's called precision fermentation. And this is a new technology that essentially that allows them to make this happen. It's the core fundamental technology.
Yeah, family, look that up. Google will provide that information for you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And to get an idea, let me have it play it again so that you are.
So is to, you know, what is the new technology? That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. And that is a term that's called precision fermentation.
Precision fermentation. Look it up.
Okay.
That allows them to make this happen. It's the core fundamental technology. And what is it? It's a form of synthetic biology that has been around for several decades now, at least 20 years. And it uses genetically engineered microorganisms, such as yeast and bacteria, to produce these fake meats and fats and milk, which are some of the absolute most foundational foods that we can eat. Now, in order to pull this off, it's going to require the use of these genetically engineered microorganisms. And the
GMO
innovation is that there's these bacteria and yeast and microorganisms are using to grow the food. They're cultivated in very high-tech, sterile, pharmaceutical-grade, brewery-style fermentation tanks. Why do they require that? Because if they don't use this type of advanced technology, it's very easy to contaminate the cultures that are growing it. Once it's contaminated, they can't use it for anything. It just doesn't work. So,
all right, I'm going to stop there. But I think you get the picture, all right? He's at this conference informing people at this conference of this technology, all right, from his research, okay? All right, he's a meat eater, but he wants to eat real meat. He doesn't want fake
meat.
All right? All right. And so he's showing that there is a science being created or is created, you know, for the production of fake food, okay? So you have to say what is going to happen to the real food. Well, let me go with the GMO, genetically modified organism. What that is that, all right, let's take any vegetable that grows. A lot of times those vegetables that grow, all right, is invaded by pests, insects, all right, who feed on them. It's, all right, well, what scientists have identified and learned is that by manipulating the genes of the particular food source that it's looking at, in this case, you know, it could be a turnip green, could be a collard green or what have you, is that by manipulating the gene, all right, they don't manipulate how it looks. What they have is turn off something that might be attractive to the insects to it initially. For an example, you know that if you see something, all right, or you're invited to eat something that you don't recognize, well, one of the first things you might do is smell it, you know, just to see how it smells. All right, that might be an inducement to go ahead and eat it. All right, but usually we use our senses. In order to identify and appreciate the food or consumption of food that we eat. All right, so what this guy is saying, all right, the GMOs is trying to remove the pests, okay, all right, that attacks the food, make it difficult for the farmer. But guess what? Glyphosate, which is a herbicide is to weed. So when the pest doesn't show up, more weeds grow. All right. So now they're using glyphosate, a weed, all right, killer, all right, that doesn't affect the GMO plant, but it does affect the weeds. All right. So
okay.
You got that? All right, so now it's absorbed by the GMO. All right. So when you eat the GMO, you also eat the herbicide that was used to kill the weeds. All right. Okay.
Right.
Am I getting the picture why we need to control our own production? All right, a little bit.
Absolutely.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. All right. I mean, and now remember now, this stuff has been playing for decades. I mean, Bayer's been around us. I mean, Monsanto's been around with these weed killers, all right, pesticide killer, which is the bug killers, all right, for decades, all right. We have not yet, well, we do know because we know that they've been inside the foods that we eat and they've been found in the body. And they've been found to cause, you know, carcinogen action within the body, cancers, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that, all right. But now, gotta let you hear this. I mean, you gotta listen to this. Okay.
Okay.
Now this is another hillbilly. All right. But he's a smart hillbilly. Okay. I mean, he's a lawyer, and he's been jumping on a number of cases. All right. As a consequence of COVID, COVID starts everything. COVID starts the coronavirus, start everything, okay? And it's hitting these people who are millionaires. They might not be billionaires, but they operational people. They know how the system works, all right? And they don't want to be out. So remember now, these are white folks. They're not out to help black people. They're out to help other white folks who just happen to be a conservative clan, okay? All right. I want to make this clear. I just happen to be able to be in a position where I listen to these people. I want to know what they know that the average blacks don't know. Well, the average black, we usually, if we're going to college in particular, we usually are directed into liberal arts studies, all right? Not necessarily the scientific studies, all right? All right, but I'll tell you, every scientific innovation that is taken, there is a black person there because we do have people that's in those areas. It's just few. Like the sister who was in Anthony Fauci's lab at NIAID, who was responsible for the development of the MR. You remember her?
Yeah, I remember.
I don't know if you've seen it. She was on television.
I don't remember her name. I don't. Yeah,
I don't remember her name either, but I remember it was there when they was trying to get black folks to take this jab. So they had to show that it was a sister who was involved primary research that Anthony Fauci did not have the skills for, but that she did. And she was a PhD, you know, in biochemistry, all right, and biology, all right. But anyway, let you listen to this guy. He's a lawyer. His name is Tom Rentz. I think he's from Arizona, not clear. But he'll tell you where he's from in a minute. This is why we need to have the other reason why we need to produce our own food.
So now let's move on, if we may, in our last few minutes, to your latest concern, which is a bill, as I understand it, you want to call attention, which is about GMO food and DNA.
All right, this is Naomi Wolf. All right, who is interviewing him? This is Tom Rentz. All right, a hillbilly. When I say hillbilly, you know I'm talking about a white conservative. Okay. All right, she's a Jew. All right, I checked her out too. All right, and I don't trust her because I found her in a lie. See, when you research stuff, but she has people on there that are credible because she has an agenda. Well, that's good. That's all right. They all of us have an agenda. But she has this guy on there who's involved in a number of lawsuits against the government. All right, so let me let you listen to what he has to say about GMO and DNA.
speak to that, please?
Yeah, and it's actually, I want to just drill right down what this is, and we know this has happened. I've got documents from NIH from 2002 talking about integrating vaccines into foods.
Oh, no.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Sister, you
right.
there?
Yes,
integrating vaccine.
You...
I'm sorry.
Into
say again.
The food. In, he's
into
talking about
the food.
Integrating into the food supply. Right. Okay.
Into the food supply. Okay. Now,
mm-hmm.
remember, a previous presenter was talking about GMOs. All right, and then which is already into food supply, making fake
mm-hmm.
food, and then the impact of glyphosate, all right, which is a weed killer, and how that is absorbed by the GMO, even though it doesn't hurt that product, all right? Now,
right.
and this
right.
product is going to be sent, you know, at our food stores, our Safeway, our whatever, you know, stores that you go
mm-hmm.
to, you know, that are non-GMO, that doesn't have it, that had them label on it. Now, this is what he was trying to do based on trying to get a piece of legislation, I think, through Missouri.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've got going on is the mRNA gene therapy type drugs, and by the way, when I say that, just for anybody that doesn't know, I have Moderna's documents. They call it a gene therapy. This is settled, right? I mean, unless you want to argue with Moderna and Pfizer themselves, this is gene therapy. They've been working on integrating these into our food supply. They've been working on it for at least two decades, okay? So at least two decades. They're moving forward with this. So I have a friend that works with me, and she got elected to the House of Representatives in Missouri. And, you know, we talked with her, and she sponsored a bill that would require, it doesn't ban anything. Okay, we wrote this bill. We worked with them. I helped them with this bill. It was written in a way that was meant to be as easy to pass and as hard to oppose as possible. And all it does is it does three things. It requires labeling and disclosure of any product that has any gene therapy qualities. It requires that if you have a product on the market that has gene therapy qualities, that you, Naomi, anyone can call the company and say, hey, how does this spread? Does it shed?
Mm-hmm.
Is it spread through contact? Is it through sexual contact? Is there a way that this can spread?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to disclose it. And then the third part is it requires informed consent. And informed consent includes serious events of adverse events of special interest. So we close that loop on there legally. And it requires informed consent before you be given anything with the gene therapy or medicinal properties, right? So this isn't difficult, right? I don't think this is a Democrat bill or a Republican bill. It's sponsored by a Republican, but it should be universally supported.
Absolutely, of course.
This has become, it's two pages, by the way. No writers, no jokes, nothing, just very straightforward. You can read it. It's House Bill 1169 in Missouri. This has become the most contentious bill in Missouri history.
Wow.
They have, all we're asking for is transparency
right.
and disclosure. So you've got a transparency disclosure bill. Here's what's happened, though. This is shocking, Naomi. You want to talk about an admission. So I go and I testify about this bill, which wasn't supposed to happen. It's only through the great people in Missouri calling and screaming and calling their legislatures. And by the way, I just put on my Twitter feed, I listed the lobbyists opposing this along with the contact information of the people on the committee because we're playing hard.
Yeah.
You call these lobbyists. You ask the Farm Bureau why it is that they don't think that the farmers would want to know if their crops are being poisoned.
Yeah.
But so we put this out there, and here's the response. They can't come out. Big Pharma can't come out and say we oppose disclosure and transparency.
Right.
So what they did was they went to the ag community. They went to, and I'll tell you, we've got the Missouri Cattlemen's Association.
It's an ag community where they produce
ag. Association, Missouri Pork Association, Farm Bureau, soybean growers. They went to these guys and said, hey, we need you to oppose this. Now, remember, the two largest holders of ag in this country are Bill Gates and the CCP.
Yeah.
So these guys throw money at these guys, buy off these guys. They're not representing the local farmers. But the reason that I thought this was important enough to come on a big show like this and talk about it is if I pass this bill in Missouri, and it's a red state, they should be loving this. If I pass this bill in Missouri, those disclosures and the ability to get that information apply globally. So if we can win in one state, the truth in Missouri is the truth in Iowa.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. What this boy is talking about with the passage of this bill, all right, he thinks if he passes this bill, which is basically a disclosure bill, all right, and so if the, in other words, if the labeling has to be on the food that is injected with the mRNA vaccine, all right, and then you can ask questions, and the pharmaceutical or whatever the organization is as responsible for injecting this, you know, have to come up and provide you with answers, all right? So they have to do that. And so, but he says he wasn't banned. In other words, the legislation is not there to ban these products from coming to market, but to inform the consumer who is going to consume these products, all right? All right,
right.
So they have
right.
an idea
okay.
of what, how this may affect their what, their health. All right, and
exactly.
affect their ability to be able to go out and operate within their environment. All right,
mm-hmm.
another reason why we need our own food production, because he's saying they're fighting like hell on a disclosure bill or an informed consent bill. All right, he's fighting like hell in Missouri, which is supposed to be a conservative red state. That's what he was making reference to. All right. So he says he knows that he can't get no buy at the Democratic states, you know, because it's delicate.
Right.
Democratic states are completely, you know, with the mandates associated with COVID. So he knows no play there. But he can. He feels that he can get some at a red state. But remember, now, I told you that David Martin has sent all of that information that he talked about going back into the history to all of the governors, all right, in the U.S., 50 states, all
right? Right.
I mean, to the AG,
the
Attorney General, in 50 states.
Yeah.
Right. And nothing has happened, red or blue. Nothing has happened. It shows you the extent in which some of these people are paid off. Again,
absolutely.
I'm trying to get, hopefully, nobody has called in yet, get our people to see the urgency of this, particularly with Brother Ty Simmons, who spoke last week on our show. Of the importance of what he's doing in contacting a number of farmers to sell products and developing the distribution mechanism where we are fed. We have to control that mechanism. We have to ensure that the farms are producing quality food, non-GMO food, none of food with vaccines, so-called vaccines implemented. We have to make sure the testing is there, all right, because we are going to consume that stuff, all right, not understanding its impact. We still do not understand or know the full impact, all right, of these vaccines, so-called vaccines. Now, what I have found out for the family to know is that there are certain lots in which they have identified, in which they have that are responsible for most of the injuries that are occurred. It seems like a lot of the other lots, which is the overwhelming majority, all right, there is no injuries. But they have identified lots nationally and internationally that seem to be associated, all right, with these adverse conditions and even death, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people are trying to use that information, all right? They're trying to mount, they're going to lawyers and all this other kind of stuff to mount up these lawsuits. Black folks don't know, to my understanding, what's going on. We got to know what's going on because we might need to be, since we affected the most, we might have to be generating our own lawsuits, all right, because the Europeans are not doing it. The Jew girl is not going to do it. Tom Rents, the hillbilly, is not going to do it. He's out there for white folks. So we got to be for black folks, all right. Sister, my last clip because I want to bring in the money. We got to talk about the money. You can't talk about all this stuff without talking about the money. And so I want to talk. You got to talk about the money. Now, this is a forum where this woman, Kathleen Austin Fitz, was an assistant secretary of HUD all right, back there during the times of Bush 1. All right, and
okay.
Since then, they had tried to persecute her when she found out what they were doing. All right, but listen to what she says. Now, this is in the middle of her conversation with two lawyers who work for two legal people who work for Robert Kennedy's organization.
That's okay. I was in following what you had to say in follow-up with respect to the diversion of the money out and keeping the liability with the citizenry, I'll say. Can a local analogy be made in any way to our observing what appears to be the actual dissembling of all of the country, of our country's infrastructure and necessary services? You know, case in point, our food distribution chain problems, our railroad problems, our I'll leave it at that.
There are two problems with the infrastructure. One is that you've been spending a fortune on a covert infrastructure. So if you look at the amount of money that's spent on building or operating the underground bases, my guesstimate is it's absolutely extraordinary. Because if you look at how much it takes to build an underground base and then maintain it, it's one price. If you have to do it on a secret basis, you know, it's many multiples. So the secrecy is phenomenally expensive. That's number one. The other thing is many of the things that are said to be problems, so you have a competition, if you will, between the overt infrastructure and the covert infrastructure. And the covert infrastructure has been winning. And many times when you study or experience the covert infrastructure, in that world, money is no object. It's just unbelievable the money they waste and throw at them. So that's number one. But number two, if you look at many of the problems attributed to the overt infrastructure, those are not real problems. There's been a decision to let that infrastructure go for a variety of reasons. Or a lot of the problems with the food infrastructure is really an effort to centrally control the food. And so, you know, they want certain infrastructure to fail because they can move everything to things that are more centrally controlled.
What she's talking about is that, you know, she called them overt and covert infrastructure. Overt is what you see. The other stuff is what you don't see. All right. But there's money. There is money in the covert structure. All right. The reason. All right. When I was in the military and, you know, what she's involved in is what they call, she's trying to locate the amount of money that's been stolen out of the U.S. Treasury, what have you. And now I know that there's money to be stolen, because I'll give you an example. You know, when I was, you know, in the military, I worked on planes, all right? And, you know, a screwdriver could cost $100. All right.
Okay.
Did you hear me? Now, I didn't have to worry about that, but I found out, you know, how much was being charged to get a screwdriver or a wrench, okay, certain size, all
right? Right.
So I'm saying that what a company would do, they get a government contract, and they were overcharged. Overcharge, you know, all right, well, they would pay what they would normally pay, but then they take that money, all right, themselves and invest it or buy assets, all right, and particularly assets that accrue in value and not assets that depreciate in value. All right, so there's a lot of money. So a lot of the HUD, she says, and she said the military, have not been able to pass an audit, okay? All
right.
So she's talking about why the government is allowing some infrastructure projects to fail, all right, because they are using that as a means to centralize activity. Now, this is talking about the infrastructure. She's talking about the infrastructure that sustain and support food production and distribution.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll let her say a couple more words. But she goes on, and she gets real deep into this stuff.
Okay. And part of what we're watching is with the financial coup, it's a strategy to centralize control of the money. But to do that, you've got to centralize control of the food system. That's arguably food and energy, the two most important systems you need to control. So
Did you see what she just said? All right, to centralize control of the money system, you got to centralize control of what? Food and energy.
Food and energy. Mm-hmm.
One thing I will say is a great deal of the money in every county of America comes through the federal budget, and the federal budget has funded enormous misallocation of capital. And so you see the federal government.
Misallocation of capital. That's what I was talking about, that $100 screwdriver.
Right.
Encourage local government to take on a water and sewer grant or a development grant or a community block development grant that then builds something that then the community has to maintain. And there's not enough private sector activity throwing off taxes to pay for the maintenance.
All right, because of the sake of time, I'm going to stop it here. What she basically is saying is that, all right, you know, the federal government fund counties within the country. All right, they fund counties that have projects, but there's not enough private investment, all right, to sustain the development of that. So what do we look? We look at the failure, all right, of the system in Detroit. We look at the failure in Jackson, Mississippi, of the water system. All right, we see a number of failures of infrastructure, you know, that's been around. Nobody's putting any money in them, all right? Because
exactly.
when they had the project, all right, now remember that when they used to, you always hear these government projects, and they would give you an estimation, and might say, well, that project is $50 billion, all right? And then they come back and say, oh, no, we made a mistake. It's $150 billion. Well, wait a minute, that's a big difference between $50 billion and $150 billion. You know, how was your records off that much? All right, so that's the corporation stealing money based on the taxpayer dollars money. All right, then they do something else with that money. Okay, their money usually is money that we have, but they can use the money to buy assets. All right, and that accrue in value. All right, and it increases in value, and then they do something with it later. All right, and the banking system supports that kind of activity. Well, anyway, I wanted to share that, and we could talk about much more, but the key is. Knowing that, you know, the GMOs, all right, the GMOs was placed here, all right, to, number one, not be affected by bugs, all right, but what they found out is that the bugs don't bother them, but you got a lot of these other weeds growing up, and so you needed the Roundup and all that other kind of stuff to kill the weeds, but that stuff goes into the food. And now they're coming up with developing the science that will make fake food, and now they're going to put, all right, vaccine in the food. Now, you're going to tell me that we should think about controlling our food production? These people are doing that now. We're
exactly.
probably eating the food now, okay? So I wanted to share that. What Brother Simmons talked about was his network. We gotta support that effort. We got to see how to support that effort. We got to see how to be involved in that effort. And we got to make sure that we got checks all up and down that line, you know, from the production of the food to the distribution of the food to make sure that food is safe because you can't depend on the government. All right?
Exactly.
All right, thank you, sister, for giving me the opportunity to vent after learning some of this. And hopefully, you know, I'll tell you some more about the military and their involvement in the COVID thing some other time. But they're the ones who's behind, they're the ones who've been funding it. It's not just NIH, okay?
Absolutely. And just knowing that the government has classified the citizenry as enemies of the state will help people understand why they do some of the stuff they do. You know, they don't work for us. They don't work for us. They see us as a pest that must be destroyed. If you can wrap your brain around that, you can get some of the other stuff that's happening. And we thank you for sharing what you have shared with us tonight, Brother Shabaka. We look forward
you
coming back and bringing us some more news we can use. We want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. We invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. I'll change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Need some help, yeah. Need some help, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Yeah.
high, it don't matter. Yeah, yeah. What race, creed or color, everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers, start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children,
teach the babies,
teach the children, teach the children.